Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Before we begin the reading, I just want to beg for a little mercy from all of you that I may say something that will be beneficial and useful for all of us. So I beg for your prayers. Without the prayers, without the blessings, without the good wishes of the Vaishnavas, generally things are not as good as they could be, because Krishna does listen to the Vaishnavas. So in order for this to be as best a talk as I can possibly give, I'm depending on all of you for your mercy and for your help. And if it comes out good, you can all thank yourself and thank Krishna. Okay. So, we have a little more time today because there's no breakfast, so start out with the synonyms. Apratam naha vaya kim nu bhagavan bhuvana ishvara yat naha antaha Riddayam Vishaya Tamaha Hamsi. Sorry. Svarochisha Apratham nastvaya kim nu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yanun Thardayam Vishya Tamohamsi Svarochisha Apratham nastvaya kim nu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yanun Thardayam Vishya Tamohamsi Svarochisha Apratham Nastvaya Kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yanun Thardayam Vishya Tamohamsi Svarochisha Ladies, please. Oh. Ladies, please. Ladies, please. Apratam, not given. Naha, unto us. Tvaya, by your lordship. Kim, what? New. Indeed, Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord. Bhuvana Ishvara, O Master of the whole universe, yet because naha our antahridayam within the core of the heart, vishya entering tamaha the darkness of ignorance, hamsi you annihilate Sarochisha by your own effulgence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, just to know who's speaking, the Brahmins are speaking, and they are responding to the Lord's offer, in which He has given them basically the world. North, east, south, west. It's all yours. So they are responding, and this collectively, this is what is being said. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Please repeat, O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, excuse me, O my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction. Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Narsingadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be a vanik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmins are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya chaham riti sanvishto matasmritir jnanam apohanam cha. That's from the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, which means I am seated in everyone's heart. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the knower of Vedanta. Indeed, I am the knower of Vedanta. So, and because the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess. But they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadev. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadev wanted only 3 paces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmin or Vaishnava. Om Agyana Timidandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet and beg for his blessings and mercy. So this is very instructive. First thing, as we can see, the Lord did not want more than what he actually needed. Yes, he was a kshatriya, and he actually should keep some of the land to manage, because kshatriyas administer, they manage, they protect. But because he considered that the Brahmins were more worthy of all his land than he himself was, then he said, well, why should I keep it? Let me give it to them as a gift. And he was setting an example for us. Even if you have something, but you really don't need it because you have so many other things to preoccupy you, and God will take care of you and keep you nicely engaged, give it all to the Brahmins and they will use it properly because they are Brahmins. And Brahmins have those wonderful qualities of, as we know, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance. Worshipfulness, wisdom, righteousness. They have all these qualities. So, and many more. So give it to them. And whatever they do with it will be for the benefit of humanity. But the Brahmins being Brahmins, did not want any, as Prasula Prabhupada so nicely puts it, do not need more than what they have to use. Whatever they need to use, they will accept. But to take more and more is a symptom of greed and fear. Greed that I must have more and more because that will really make me happy. And fear that somehow you're going to lose it or somebody's going to steal it. But the Brahmins, being protected by the Supreme Lord, they don't have that mentality. So they basically returned it to the Supreme Lord in gratefulness and in thankfulness. And this is all very, very nice for us to learn, because in the Nectar of Instruction book by Srila Rupa Goswami, there are 6 symptoms that are very beneficial, called exchanges of love between devotees. Giving gifts in charity and accepting gifts in charity. Revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, and accepting prasad and giving prasad. So these are what make devotional life very, very sweet. Sometimes you're walking along the street, it happens to me, not just because I have a sannyasi, even before, devotees were, I would walk on the street and say, hey, here's some Mahaprasad, and please take it. And they put up my, well, wait a minute. No, wait. You don't wait for Mahaprasad. You take it immediately. All right. I pushed it in my mouth and I ate it. So then I was remembering, you know, my resistance, hesitance in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He mentions very nicely that there was a knock on his door in the early morning, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to give him a big plate of Mahaprasad, which he just got from the Jagannath temple. And he was just in bed yet. So he got up and he was kind of bleary-eyed. He said, my lord! He says, yes, sit down, we'll have a feast now. So he was thinking in his mind that I haven't washed my hands, I haven't brushed my teeth, I haven't done all the cleansings. But so what? This is Mahaprasad. This is the ultimate cleansing. You don't get cleaner than from Mahaprasad. So he sat down, and he took the rice, and he was describing this to some of the other devotees. He says, the principle, yes, is usually you clean yourself and then you eat. But then when it comes to Mahaprasad, you should not wait even 1 second if possible. Of course, there are sometimes circumstances which may prohibit that, sometimes medical things like that. But generally speaking, you don't wait even a second. I see devotees when they're taking from, you know, they get the cashews and they get the raisins, they immediately go over to the dining room over there. So they sit down, you know, like it reminds me of little monkeys. They all get together in a little group and they're all nibbling away. So that's good. It's very nice. They're not waiting a second. I have my own dietary rules, so I don't take all, but I do take an honorable amount, which is basically a crumb, so that the rule is not, can hardly be called violated. So yeah, a crumb is as good as a mountain, as long as it's Mahaprasad. So that was the idea behind that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was getting. The point I was trying to make is that when devotees come and they give you things without being asked to give them, without being dictated to give them, without being directed to give them, and when you receive it, and you've been thinking, you know, I'm just a useless, worthless, good for nothing in this community, you know, you're thinking in a kind of a humble way and an ashamed way both. And then suddenly somebody comes and sticks this wonderful sweet ball in your mouth. You say, well, maybe I'm not so bad after all. If I'm worth a sweet ball, I must be worth something. So these are things which pick up devotees. One may say, well, why should you be depending on this? Because we all have our weaknesses. We all have our failings. We're all not such big shots in spiritual life. So taking that position as to who we really are, as opposed to whom we would like to be, oh yes, you accept it, and you take it, and don't try to be something you're not. And if Krishna has ordained through this particular devotee to give you something of himself, you should be jumping for joy. Ah, Krishna loves me. Look at this. He's using this devotee to tell me he loves me. Sometimes devotees say, how do I know that? He has to appear here and say, yes, I love you. This is foolishness. This is nonsense. We're not worthy of that yet. But if we can see the signs, the invisible signs that Krishna, how he loves us, and how a devotee comes, he gives you a sweet ball, then you come to your house, and you're carrying, I know I'm carrying a plate of prasadam, and I have my other hand holding my danda, and then somebody goes, oh, let me hold the danda while you open the door. I didn't ask for that, and I don't deny. Very important principle, allow a devotee to serve. Srila Prabhupada, when devotees would come with, I remember at the airport in 1976 at the terminal, as soon as Srila Prabhupada came out, I'll never forget that day. He came out and there was at least 200, 350 devotees waiting near the gate area. And a roar went up. It was so loud that everyone in the airport thought that maybe there was a bomb scare. Really. It was shouting, hey, Haribol! This Prabhupada had a big grin on his face. And before you know it, you know, he had about 10 garlands around his neck as he was walking towards the conveyor belt where they had, I think it was Western Airlines. So he was walking towards that. After a while, you couldn't see Prabhupada's face. All you saw was his nose. So Prabhupada, he could hardly see. So he started taking, the conveyor belt. It's like two people you can get on. And most of the devotees were on one side of the conveyor belt, and some of them were on the other side. So he was taking them off, putting them on devotees' necks. This is the nature. You receive prasad, and you give prasad. And he kept getting and giving, getting and giving, getting and giving. He never stopped getting and giving until finally he reached his car. And then when he reached the temple, he kept getting and giving. And we see that, when all the kids line up for the cookies, cookie time. And the way Prabhupada would give the cookie, he would just hold it so gently. He didn't shove it in their hands. He didn't do this. His three fingers were always up slightly, kind of almost like a concert pianist or so. Very gentle, fragile, beautiful looking. And he would just put it in the hand of the cookie child. Good, good. Very nice, very nice. Another child would come, another one would come. So this was actually to just watch Srila Prabhupada giving out the cookies. That was an experience. That was a spiritual entertainment in itself. And all the mothers would stand there. They're so happy that their child was getting blessed. Prabhupada would go like this. And so we can learn so much from these videos that you see. And the way he walked, the way he moved. Like that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. How is it possible to know when a person is in transcendence? How does he walk? How does he sit? How does he talk? What is his language? And what does Krishna answer? When a man gives up all varieties of sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purifies, finds complete satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So this is inner satisfaction, inner happiness, inner bliss, as opposed to external. Of course, there's for the devotee, there's also external transcendental satisfaction. Like we were just talking, prasanam, it's external. But also there's internal, which is coming from the heart. And when Krishna is pleased with us, he literally bubbles up all this bliss and sometimes can overwhelm the devotee, as we see throughout much in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in so doing, this is the way he's expressing his affection, his reciprocation, his appreciation. So we don't have to think, well, where are you, Krishna? Where are you? He's right there, giving you that bliss. He's right there, making you bang away at that madanga. He's right there. That's Krishna. It's not you, it's him giving you the energy, the zest, the vitality, the vigor, the vim. Anybody got any more adjectives to add to that? No? Okay. The vigor, the vim. They used to call me Adjective Maharaj before I became a Maharaj. So, anyway, that was Shukdeva. That was his pet name that he would give me. So, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. When you're feeling that energy, that joy, that eagerness to serve. How do you know when you have eagerness to serve? As soon as you see an opportunity, you don't wait to be called. You jump on it. Sometimes we have to say, any volunteers? The devotees who are really in touch with service and love service, they don't wait. They see it. Like, for example, you have to pour the water. You have to give the charanamrita. Some devotees, they're there immediately. They don't want to miss the opportunity. They want to get the mercy, the benefit, because Krishna loves it when devotees serve devotees. He loves this. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And one who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me with his intelligence. So there you are, Krishna is telling you. He's telling you what makes you dear to him. What will give you the bliss that he will shower on us. Because he loves to see devotees serve devotees. And when we serve the devotees with the full consciousness of the fact that that devotee is part and parcel of Krishna, and that Krishna is there, and that we are serving both Krishna and the devotee, When we have that consciousness and not just giving something, but giving it with love, giving it with affection, with warmth, with understanding, as an opportunity to please Krishna. When you give to the devotee, you're pleasing Krishna, and that should bring joyfulness. It should bring eagerness and satisfaction to our hearts. There is so much mechanical giving. And so all of us, and this is not a criticism of anyone in particular, because I'm one of the biggest mechanical or robots, but I try to overcome it. And I remember it, and Krishna reminds me, don't just give. Give with your heart. Give with your feelings. Of course, if you can't, even if you just give, that can be a big thing. But if you can give with the heart and give with the feelings, give with a feeling of gratitude, give with a feeling of appreciation, give with a feeling of affection, a feeling of thoughtfulness, a feeling that this is a great day for me because now I have an opportunity to give pleasure to my Lord, my beloved dearest Lord Krishna, and He's going to be pleased this moment. So I will give this, and I pray and hope that He simply allows me to give more and more and more. Because that's all we really want, is to serve, and to serve. All the rest is taken care of by Krishna. You don't have to pray for ecstasy. You don't have to pray for peace. If you do these things which I'm mentioning with love and devotion and feeling and understanding and appreciation, Krishna takes care of the rest. I gave this talk on Sunday, which was about yogic ecstasy. So, and I dealt with that in complete, as complete at least as I knew it. So, again, coming back here. So these Brahmins, they're very knowledgeable, very understanding, and all they wanted to do was praise Krishna, which is what they've done. They've given very, very beautiful praise here. They've glorified Him. They honor Him. They tell Him, what are we going to do with all this property that you're giving us? It is not the business of a Brahmin to manage property. It is the business of a Brahmin basically to pray, to perform sacrifices, to do ceremonies, to worship the deity, and so many other things. So that's our main business, to give instruction, to give guidance, to give direction. So, but you can protect it, you can guide it, you can direct it, you can do it better than us. So you keep it, you take it. So it was not that they were not accepting, like sometimes I see devotees, you offer them something and they say, no, I'm too low, I'm too fallen, I'm too wretched, don't give this to me. This is a false humility. This is not the standard that Prabhupada has set for us. If you're low and humble, don't make a show of it. You don't have to tell me. I can see how low you are. So you don't have to advertise it or walk around maybe with a sign like on tax time, income tax, you know, the sandwich sign workers. I'm low, I'm fallen, I'm wretched. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I'm the lowest, I'm the most worthless, I'm the most useless, I'm the... And he cut him off and said, you're not the most anything. Basically, just shut up and stop flailing the flag of your false ego. That's what he was saying like that. He could see through all this. So we try to imitate the great souls, what they say, without knowing the meaning, the value, or having the realization of what they say. And so basically we should try to just follow the instructions of the acharyas. So we have Lord Ramachandra accepting their praises, because this is their words, and accepting their glorification. And he takes a very humble position. During the Rajasuya sacrifice of King Yudhishthira, who washed the feet of the Brahmins? Who is the washer? Come on, loud. Krishna. Yeah, Krishna washed the feet of the Brahmins. The Lord of the universe, He who is holding up all the planets, He who is producing, manifesting everything, He who is omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipotent, omnipresent, who has everything, all opulence is in full. He's washing the feet of the Brahmin. This sets an incredibly great, wonderful example. He never felt he was too big to wash the feet of the Brahmins. And so, therefore, we have a very wonderful example in the form of Krishna. The whole idea behind it is one should never feel he's too big to do anything which we might consider low or small or menial or lesser than my status would allow or would expect. So this is very, any time you have an opportunity to do service of some sort, clean the floor of some sort, anything that serves the purpose of pushing on, moving forth, Krishna consciousness, pleasing God, knowing that He's pleased by the service and not feeling proud of the fact that we're doing the service, just doing it because God loves it, He wants it, He's glad about it, that it's being done, and that should be enough. Our only desire should be, my dear Lord, please keep me engaged in your loving devotional service. And let me remember you. Let me remember you when I serve you, because if I just serve you, I'm not getting the full compliment, the full benefit. The full benefit is that you'll give me more service and more love for yourself. And the goal and the goal of all devotees has to be, flood me, fill me with so much love for you, Lord, in my service, that when people receive that service, they will just love you. And the more who come to love you, the happier it will make me, because I know it will make you happy. And all I ask is for more engagement, more opportunity, more service, and more love. And to the degree that you continue to inspire me, uplift me, engross me, absorb me, engage me, to that degree, you make me happier and happier. Until I cannot even think there is a me outside of what is flowing through me, namely you. And when that union of the soul and the super soul in the form of love coming in and love going out is accomplished, is achieved, is attained, then we will be happy all the time, every time, without limit, without time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions that any of you might have or any challenges? If you have them, you can ask Archita. He can answer all my challenges. He's better than I am at this stuff. Is that it? Oh, we got one question. Wait, maybe it's something you've been dreaming about for 10 years. Okay, please get the mic. And somebody want to get the mic? Microphone? Do we have a microphone anymore? If you don't, then just come close, because I'm getting hard of hearing in my old age. It's coming? Wonderful. Don't forget to switch it on, please. Yesterday I was speaking with the mic switched off. Okay, we got our ace mechanic on it now. Not working? Okay, then come a little closer so I'll hear it, and then I can tell everybody who's on the internet exactly what the question is. Working? Yeah, okay. Please take the... Please take it. Okay, go ahead, Prabhu.
Jay, thank you, Maharaj, for... really wonderful ecstatic class, and just something to support.
A little louder, please.
Just something to support what you were saying about we should never think that we're too big to do something, some kind of service. I remember when I was a new devotee.
I'm not hearing it. You have to come over here, but I'm sorry to move you.
Oh, you can't.
But it's just coming slurred. Due to, I don't know if the microphone, just come on over here and I'll hear you a little clearer so I can hear every word and then be able to hopefully answer your question.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you're getting closer. Good. Yeah, you got Kumi's yogic blessings just now. Go ahead.
So when I was a new devotee, I was... Okay, when I was a new devotee,
thank you.
I was puffed up with pride and thinking that, I'm a transcendental meditation teacher. You know, I'm very knowledgeable in all this. And then I flew to Fiji with Tamal Krishna Goswami. And so when we arrived at the Suva Temple, the temple president asked me to clean the bathroom. I said, I thought to myself, God, clean the bathroom? Man, I haven't cleaned a bathroom since I was a little kid, you know? I said, he's asked me to clean that, but I thought, okay, you know, it's for Guru Dev, so I'll do it, you know? So I kind of grudgingly started cleaning the bathroom. But when I started cleaning it, I became so blissful, more blissful than I'd ever been in my whole life, you know, just cleaning this bathroom. You know, it was the public bathroom of the temple. And so I was cleaning this bathroom, and I was feeling so much ecstasy.
Good. Okay, line up. Whoever wants to clean the bathroom out here, line forms to the rear. We'll hand you cloths. If you're feeling down, you need a little ecstasy, you've just gotten the solution. Thanks so much for sharing that. Really, it's true. It's so true. There's no question about that. When you do it in the right mood, in a surrendered mood, and there is no such thing as low and high in transcendence. In transcendence, there's only one principle, utility. Utility is the principle. Books are the basis. Preaching is the essence. And purity is the force. So those are the four which govern and direct and guide a Vaishnav. Any other questions? No? No? Okay. There's no prasadam now, I'm sorry. So you'll just have to all be... So you'll just have to be a yogi and just live on air for 4 more hours. Hare Krishna.